Good afternoon, and welcome to Uncle Paul's Jazz Closet. I'm doing a redo this week of The High Priest, Thelonious Monk, because I had a little problem with the recording last week and it didn't come out. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just do it again, because such great music. I think if you listened last week, you probably don't mind hearing some great monk again. And I want to thank my partner, the Camden Conference, that helps to bring the show on the air for you. And Uncle Paul is Paul Modian, who was a jazz drummer who lived in New York City and was my uncle. And he played with many people, and he played a little bit with Monk. He played with him one time on the tour, and he also played a lot of his music on his own albums. So I'm going to feature today the High Priest album and also Thelonious Monk with John Coltrane. And I've got some really great readings from Paul Modian's autobiography that are about Thelonious Monk and John Coltrane. So that's a big part of the reason why I wanted to redo the show. So we're going to start off the hour with Blue Monk, from the 1968 prestige recording, The High Priest.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thelonious Monk playing Leonello Casucci's Just a Gigolo from the 1968 prestige album The High Priest. And at the top of the set, we heard Blue Monk from the same album with Thelonious Monk on piano, Percy Heath on bass, and Art Blakey on drums. And in between, we heard Paul Modian's album Misterioso with the song of the same name from the 1987 Soul Note release with Jim Pepper and Joe Lovano on saxophones, Bill Frisell on electric guitar, Ed Schuller on bass, and Paul Modian on drums. And I had an interesting conversation last week with a man named Sean Aaron Cruz from Oregon, who is doing a project to archive and promote the music of Jim Pepper. And it looks really interesting. He was pretty excited about some recordings that I have in the Paul Modian archive with Jim Pepper playing, and he hadn't realized how extensively Jim had toured with Paul Modian in Europe for about 3 years. And he found that out when he interviewed Joe Lovano, who put him in touch with me. So it's pretty exciting. I think if you want to check it out, it's jimpepperfest.net. That's F-E-S-T. And he's got a festival going out there in Oregon to celebrate Jim Pepper's music. And he got some declarations made in the State House in Oregon about Jim. It's pretty interesting. He was a really talented and interesting person. So I'm going to play Panonika next from the same album. But first I'm going to read a little bit from Paul Modian's autobiography. He wrote a chapter called Thelonious. The first time I saw and heard the great pianist Thelonious Monk was in the mid-50s in a noisy club in Harlem. New York was still new to me, and I wanted to hear some music, so I went to Harlem. Monk was in the far corner of the club, away from the bar, playing with the saxophonist Sonny Rollins and the bass player Curly Russell, no drummer. People were standing at the bar, drinking and talking, hardly paying attention to the music. I was at the bar trying to listen, but I could hardly hear the music. It was quite a scene. The big, smoke-filled room was full of people, and I couldn't believe how some of them weren't even listening to the music. Amazing. Monk and the other players didn't seem to care about the loud surroundings. They were into the music. I was thrilled to be there. It made me happy to hear the music. The noisy bar was a drag, but I managed to hear some of the music, and of course, it was great. Everything they played was perfection. Canonica, a song by Thelonious Monk, named for the Baroness Nika, who was his friend and helped him out a lot, I think, throughout his career. I want to remind you that you are listening to Community Radio, WRFR Low Power, Rockland, Maine, 93.3 FM, and streaming online at WRFR.org. I'm going to read a little bit more from Paul Modian's autobiography and the chapter Thelonious Monk, just titled Thelonious. Sometime later, in the early part of 1956, Thelonious was playing at a club called The Open Door in Greenwich Village. I got there early. Bob Reisner, the promoter, approached me and asked if I wanted to play with Monk. The place was full, and the drummer, Arthur Taylor, hadn't showed up yet. I rushed home to East 9th Street, picked up my drums, and hurried back to The Open Door. I was scared and thrilled, elated and proud, all at the same time. I played that night with Monk's quintet, Donald Byrd on trumpet, Lou Donaldson on alto. Donald Byrd kept encouraging me, talking in my ear as I was playing, "Yeah, Paul, go, Paul, play, baby." At the end of the night, Monk reached into his pocket and gave me $10. Art Taylor never did show up. Years later, Donald Byrd told me he has a photo of me playing with Monk that night. I don't know if that exists. Side note. Another opportunity to play with Thelonious came up in January of 1960. I got a call from the bass player, Scott LaFaro. "Paul, get your ass over to Monk's pad. He'll give you train fare to Boston, and you can have the gig." Elvin Jones was supposed to play, but couldn't be found, and Scott had recommended me. I went over to Monk's place, which was in the 60s on the west side of Manhattan, and Thelonious's wife, Nellie, gave me some money and said, "See you in Boston." I took my drums on the train to Boston and found my way to Storyville. The impresario, George Wayne, had opened the club Storyville in the Copley Square Hotel around 1952. It was a large club, if I remember correctly. Scott played bass and Charlie Roos was on tenor. Monk paid me $200 for the week. Very good money for me in those days. During the week, I did feel a little ill at ease. I wasn't all that familiar with the music. Sometimes when Monk would get up from the piano and dance, I felt good. He seemed happy. The music was happening. I learned a lot that week. I learned how to listen carefully. I learned how to listen better. And I tried my best to familiarize myself with the music of Thelonious Monk. Next up, I've got a little set of the tune Trinkle Tinkle. And we're going to start with a version from the 1961 Jazzland album Thelonious Monk with John Coltrane. And there's also Wilbur Ware on bass and Shadow Wilson on drums. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Trinkle Tinkle, three times. The last one you just heard was from the 1968 prestige recording, The High Priest. Thelonious Monk on piano, Gary Mapp on bass, and Max Roach on drums. In the middle, we heard the version from Monk in Motion, a 1988 Polydor release, with Joe Lovano on tenor saxophone, Bill Frisell on guitar, and Paul Modian on drums. And at the top of the set, we heard the version from Thelonious Monk with John Coltrane, and that it also includes Wilbur Ware on bass and Shadow Wilson on drums. And I've got a little bit more to read from Paul Modian's autobiography. This is from his chapter called Thelonious, and he is went to Boston to play a gig with Thelonious. Suddenly, one night, I was taken aback when Monk stood up and began pacing the bandstand. I wondered what was going to happen next. He pointed to me and said, "Drums." I played a, quote, solo. I sang melodies to myself as I played. I improvised. It was a great learning experience for me. One night, after we had played a set, I said to Monk, "Thelonious, I may have speeded up the tempo and rushed the time on one of the pieces." And he said, "If I hit you upside your head, you won't rush." That got my attention fast, and after that, I stayed very aware of tempos. And on another night, he asked me to sing him my, quote, beat. "Sing me your cymbal beat," he said. "Ding, ding, a ding," I sang. He said, "Try ding, ding, a ding." I love the way Monk plays standard tunes. Memories of You, Carolina Moon, Meet Me Tonight in Dreamland. You took the words right out of my heart. That hesitant way of playing, which was his easily recognizable style, was beautiful to me. It sounds like he's sight-reading from a sheet of music for the first time. He made the songs his. Sometimes I think he was my favorite pianist. One night during the Boston gig, "Thelonious, what's your astrological sign?" I had to wait for his answer. Then, after a long silence, he said, "Libra." Monk was like that. You had to be patient when asking him anything. He took his time. He waited before answering. Sometimes he wouldn't speak at all. Scott LaFaro told me a story about a rehearsal he had with Thelonious. We were in Monk's apartment. Monk was standing by the window looking out. He didn't say a word. Finally, he sat down at the piano and started to play. "Know this?" he said. Scott played with Monk that day. They would play a little of the music, and then Monk would get up from the piano and go over again to the window, saying nothing, just looking out the window. This went on for some time, and then the rehearsal was over. I saw Thelonious again and for the last time at Lincoln Center during the Newport Jazz Festival in New York. I was playing with the pianist Keith Jarrett at the time, and we were performing opposite Monk that evening. It was July 3, 1975. I asked Monk if he remembered me, and again there was a long pause. "Yes," he said. It was great to see him then. I love his music, the way he uses rhythm, his natural sense of time, his use of space, his sense of humor. It's such an unmistakable style. His ability to express great music without playing lots of notes. And it's fun to play his music. So I'm going to take us to the top of the hour with two versions of Off Minor. The first one from Monk in Motion, and the second one from Thelonious Monk with John Coltrane. Thank you.
Thank you.